Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to episode 37 of Fresh From The Scene. First things first, if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love it if you could give it a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. I'll shout out all of you who publicly do to say thanks. And let's not forget the massive impact that sharing this episode on social media will have. Remember to tag a friend who you think might also enjoy it. Speaking of social media, if you want to come on this podcast, get in touch. We're on Twitter at FFTScene, or let me know who you'd like to speak to. And remember to tag them as well. Otherwise, they're not seeing this. You know? Just a little podcast. But I know what you're thinking. Blah, blah, blah. Another social media spiel. How sickening. You could call me a wanker, but there's no need to be such a bitch boy. But don't worry, I still adore you. And these puns are getting quite hard to swallow. That's right, let's go on to this week's guests, Tom and Cherry from The Oozes on episode 37 of Fresh From The Scene.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guests are the absolutely lovely Tom and Cherry from The Oozes.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
All right, a little bit stressed. I always am before a show though, so it's okay.
I'm excited, getting a Red Bull in me, getting a bit of adrenaline going.
Yeah, I mean, I've been running on pure adrenaline for the last couple of days due to working in comms for a council and the Queen dying, but you know, it's been a bit hectic, but we'll make it through. So the question I usually start these with is, in your own words, how do you describe The Oozes to someone who's never heard you?
Ooh. Say, a loud, unapologetically queer punk band with...
Bit camp?
Very camp.
Very camp.
Yeah. Very
and
camp.
A lot of fun. Yeah. And a safe space.
A safe space.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we always want. So the other question is then, who are The Oozes, other than yourselves?
Yeah, so I'm Tom. I use he, him pronouns. I'm the vocalist, and I write most of the songs.
I'm Cherry. I use she, they. I'm the guitarist and have been for a couple of years, but not the full extent of how long the band's been going. And I do a lot of the like arrangement writing along with Ollie and Kira. Ollie is our drummer. He uses he, him. He kind of brings it to life with his drumming.
Absolutely. I couldn't tell him what to do if I tried. I have tried.
Yeah, we try frequently and he goes... Uh-huh.
Right. Okay, cool.
And then
makes it a
makes
million
it so
times
much
better.
Yeah. I mean, I seem to recall seeing, like, he had to learn to play drums one-handed recently, or
yeah.
Was it just...
Yeah, his wrist in Liverpool right after we played Sound City Festival, and... We had to go to a hospital at like 2 a.m. It was really, really fun.
Fell out of a bunk bed, which is potentially the least punk way to break your arm possible.
We booked a really budget hotel that was all football themed. There was like AstroTurf on the walls and live, laugh, love style pillows on the beds.
But football themed
and
at the same time.
Yeah, bunk beds that were kind of like holes in the wall as well.
Yeah.
They weren't actual like... Yeah, very dorm style situation.
So perfectly on theme for a queer punk outfit.
Oh,
like
yeah, no, 100%. Yeah.
The irony isn't lost on
us. and then we've got Kira, and Kira is our wonderful bassist. They use they, them, and they also produced, mixed, mastered the entirety of the first EP and Bitch Boy. And they are a phenomenal musician and just kind of... bring everything into this cohesive sound, I would say.
Yeah. And tell me the story of The Oozes then. Like, obviously, as a group, you are kind of still, like, in infancy, from like an actual musical perspective?
Yeah, so we actually only released our first song just over a couple of years ago, but we've been together for about 4 years. We got together at the beginning of college. We were me, Cherry and Ollie were studying together, but as previously mentioned, Cherry didn't join until lockdown.
I was meant to actually study here in Leeds, decided to fuck that off and join a punk band instead.
Nice.
And it was a very good decision.
Yeah, and I went to school with Kira. We went to secondary school together.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Been making sense.
low energy answer for that one.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the question then sort of like, obviously Cherry joined, I think the day the first single was released.
Yeah.
My memory serves me correct.
We were having a little party for the release of Blah Blah Blah.
I'd had quite a few drinks at this point. And I went, fuck it, I'm not going to uni. I decided, I don't know, there was something that felt right about it. You know, a gut feeling, a very instinctual sort of feeling. And I was like, I think this is what I need to be doing.
Yeah.
And Cherry had been to loads of our gigs before.
Yeah, I was
well,
like,
and was a like,
number one
Oasis
fan before I ever got into it. And yeah, it was a good decision made, I'd say.
Yeah. Like, how would you say, like, you joining the band then? Like, did it change anything in the dynamic? Did it bring a new, like, vision almost?
Absolutely. I mean, Cherry is, a phenomenal guitarist, really, really good player, but also we already knew that we had chemistry together playing because we'd played in session bands together. Me, Cherry and Ollie used to play in a sort of funk cover band together.
Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Halloween gigs, the lot.
So we weren't really worried about the musical elements of it because we already knew that we would gel well. And then
good mates.
Simultaneously, Cherry decided that they were in love with our bassist as soon as the two of them met.
Quite quickly.
As soon as the two of them met, it was like, oh, great.
Gay style. Yeah. Just like instant.
Moved in together.
Yeah.
Like 3 months after they met. And
I was terrified. I was like, I'm coming into this band, falling in love with the bassist, fucking everything up and then leaving again.
Yeah, proper homewrecker kind of, vibes.
That's the image I had in mind.
But luckily the home was not wrecked.
That hasn't happened. The home has flourished.
Yeah, and now you're in Leeds Key Club on tour with No Offence. Obviously this year, you know, you've played 2,000 Trees, Latitude. Last night you played to 800 people in Manchester Academy.
Like,
how has this been?
Insane. Yeah. I didn't realise how much I would love touring as well. Like, all of the festivals and everything have been amazing, and I already knew how much we, like, enjoy playing live. We're such a live-centred band. But the tour, I just want to do this forever and ever. Currently.
Yeah.
I've not burnt out yet.
Four days in and we're
I'm
loving
like,
it.
Oh, yeah. Let's do this for 5 years.
I think it's really fun as well, the face paint.
Yeah.
Having this as a way to experience touring for the first time, like, instead of it being, like, major headline UK slot, I think that would have been kind of terrifying. Like, we obviously would have jumped at the thought of it, but this is a really nice way to kind of, like, dip our feet in and get going and see what it's like.
And we love Noah so much.
And it's just such a good lineup. Like,
it's
Sophie's
so
lovely.
Yeah.
Noah's lovely. Like, the crew are just great. We're having, a really nice time. It's a super welcoming
It really
lineup.
Helps that we get along with everyone and feel...
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I definitely remember seeing Noah playing a lot of, like, Love Out for you guys before this tour was announced.
Yeah.
Which, as an internet friend of Cherry, made me feel rather But, yeah, like, it just... It does seem like the kind of vibe to be on for a first proper tour.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. And the crowds are just so nice.
Lovely.
Like, meeting people after the show and just the energy we're getting is super, super fun. Like,
It definitely feels... This is a great tour for us as well because our fan bases actually cross over quite a lot.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel too far out from the kind of crowds that we're used to, like, relatively young, all very queer, like, a lot of trans people. It feels like the sort of safe space that we're used to, whereas I think if we were supporting another band, another artist, it might not have been
we're in the
as
right
welcoming.
Rooms.
Yeah.
I seem to recall seeing on social media someone saying that for any trans people attending the show the other day, like someone was handing out binders.
I saw that. Fucking sick. I love that.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah. It was on Twitter. Someone came along with free binders for
that's
people.
That's so cool.
Yeah. See, that's what I love about it. Like, it's just, it feels like a very like welcoming family vibe almost.
And it's really nice meeting people after the show as well and not feeling that, because as well as being very queer and trans, there's also a lot of neurodivergent people who are really understanding of, like, if we're feeling awkward or nervous, then like they're not gonna get annoyed at us, and it feels like a very
unthreatening
environment. Yeah.
We just kind of relate to people, which is nice. You have an Ollie, hello.
Someone very much not wanting to join the podcast.
I would, but I feel like I'm intruding.
It's all right. So one of the whilst we're still obviously talking about the live sort of element, one of the things that a lot of people always mention about the users that I've seen is a very energetic live show, a very almost manic, to use a term.
Yeah. That is accurate.
Totally. I mean, I definitely feel like the adrenaline that we sort of come on stage with probably contributes to that, and just the chaotic.
Yeah, I mean, everything's so fast. And like, to play that, we have to be pumped to go on, you know?
Yeah, otherwise I'd be
to have energy, and you have to be like bouncing around the stage, because otherwise how are you playing these songs at like 190
BPM? It would be weird
if
we were like swaying back and forth, going like
just a bit croony.
Yeah,
but that's what I love about it. Like, it's such a release. It's so cathartic to be on stage playing these like intense songs, running about. And as a support act, you're kind of there to get the crowd going, you know? Yeah. You're there to provide energy and be like, come on then, let's have a good fucking night.
Exactly.
And I'd like to think we're doing that. Yeah. I think we're getting there.
Yeah. So in 2022 and 2021, that's one hell of a mouthful, you've obviously released Bitch Boy and Sickening. Sickening produced by Frank Turner.
Yeah.
So like, how did you get to interact with him at all? But
Yeah, very much so.
We went and recorded in his studio, and
we spent the weekend with him.
Lovely, such a nice guy. I was nervous about it. And we just got along so well. He was so
inviting.
He's one of those people who's exactly like how he acts on social media, and how how he writes in his blog. It is just exactly him in real life.
He's
as well.
Very real. Yeah.
Like, he is a previous guest on this podcast, so I do understand entirely what you mean. Just a very authentic person would be the term that gets thrown around these days.
No, 100%. I remember him saying he tries to respond to every single email he gets from every single fan, which
doing that, and like
respond to like the admin that we need to do. No, he just has such good energy and such good vibe. Very welcoming. Yeah, we spent the...
And we met him through a promoter on one of our shows.
Yeah, from one of our first Camden shows, Camden Assembly.
Yeah, a big fan of Camden is Mr. Frank Turner.
Yeah.
So would you describe Frank as like one of influences? Or like who influences the users?
Oh, this is a good question. I think Fugazi, for me, are a massive influence. The B-52s, big influence there.
Ollie's drumming is you hear a lot of Idols in there, Fugazi again. I think it's fun the fact that we've all come from very interesting musical backgrounds, where
different musical backgrounds,
very different. Like, I was doing R&B and soul and funk stuff before joining, so I like grew up on 70s 80s rock, so a lot of my guitar playing is usually quite like melodic and inspired by, you know, Eagles, Free, Steely Dan. Yeah, it's all very from that sort of realm of thing. So coming to the users and having to like change that up and kind of be like, okay, so that sounds really good, now make it all a bit more fucked up.
Yeah, I a lot of the time when we were trying to write the sick, like when Cherry was writing the sickening solo, there were a lot of iterations of it, and I think every time you came forward with someone, I was like, yeah, that is one of the best guitar solos I've ever heard, make it worse. Make it sound uglier.
Yeah.
Give it
scratchier.
The aesthetic.
Exactly.
And I think that we really, and a lot
of
the time,
I think we found
you,
a sweet point.
Yeah.
Eventually. There were so many takes.
There
of
were
that
a
solo.
Lot. I would it, say like 60.
I remember recording it in my room. And by this point, I'd been sat there for like 2 days straight trying to get this solo. And it was the last take I was going to do. I was like, I'm fucking done with this. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. I was ready to like slam my laptop down. So I need a break from it.
Yeah.
And it was on that take where I messed up a bit and then kind of went with it. Mm. And we got some weird notes out of it. And that's where it came
from. And it's my favourite bit of it.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
scratchy.
The scratchy weird bit that I didn't purposefully do or think about at all. So yeah, I don't know, kind of learning ways to do that. And I mean, there's also just a lot of like hardcore in there, a lot of like Riot Girl, I would say. There's inspirations from a lot of stuff. Yeah
I really like Dog Faced Hermans, but weirdly I actually found them not recently, but in the last couple of years, a lot of the songs predate me finding them, and I'm like, how did I write all of these songs without not hearing them? Though? I don't know.
You are allowed to have retroactive influences.
Yeah.
Or like changing the way a song is performed live based on how you've heard a song since song was recorded.
There was a bit in a lot of the reason why I really like being a vocalist for punk music is just because like the freedom of being able to make mistakes and stuff, and I really like, there are moments where my voice will wobble and I'll be like, oh, that sounds like Jello from Dead Kennedys or something like that. There'll be moments where I'm like, okay, that mess up actually ended up being like emanating vibes from like someone that I really admire, and there's a lot of that in punk. I really like it.
Yeah, I mean, punk's never designed to be perfect.
It's like, the freedom of it that's so cool.
Yeah.
The fact that rock and roll's designed to be, you know, clinical.
Yeah.
Prog's designed to be even more clinical, but in 1617.
Yeah.
But punk is designed to be, all right, cool, we've made this song that sounds nothing like what we designed in the studio.
Sorry, my face paint's melted. I just like stabbed into it. I was not expecting that. That's cool. That's fine.
Obviously,
this is great.
People can't see, but we are doing makeup,
at the same time, which is
quite chaotic of us.
Yeah. You know, it wouldn't be a proper Oozes show if we weren't running at least 10 minutes behind schedule.
Yeah. Tom does everyone's makeup as well, so
it means that
all
nothing
the pressure
could
is
be
on
happening
him.
At the same time, and therefore everyone's like lining up in their outfits all ready to go.
Hi, Tom.
And I'm like, okay, painting. What do you want?
Yesterday
quick
we
about
had...
It. It's too complicated.
I think we had like 5-10 minutes to go on, and Tom smashed out 3 makeup looks in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we had to run to stage.
Yeah, and I wasn't even fully dressed yet. I forgot to put shoes on.
Yeah.
I walked out in my socks.
But I mean, you can do that on a tour.
And also, I always take my feet off. I always take my
take the feet off.
Yeah, I get the dogs out every show anyway. So because I don't really like wearing shoes on stage unless they're really. I used to like wearing. I've got what I'm wearing now is my big steel toe capped combat boots. But
that's not a mirror.
There's not one in there either. But they've now got holes in and completely. Just
gaffer-taped.
I've taped them together
about 4 times.
And they keep falling apart, so I can't really wear those anymore. But the next best thing
there
is feet.
The next best thing is feet.
Yeah.
And if there's any takeaway, it should be that.
Absolutely. That's getting quoted. last year on Spotify, you guys had 11 million streams from 1.2 million users. Like, how do you rationalize that? Like, are they even numbers that compute to you?
Oh, not at all.
I mean, it's the reason why we like playing live so much is we get a physical representation of the people who are actually listening to us. Yeah. It's so hard to look at like Spotify Wrapped and actually understand that those are,
and like comprehend it,
people in their own lives, like
spending,
I'm gonna get
time
a bit existential now, but like taking time to listen to us and actually
appreciate what we're doing. But yeah, it's kind of mental, especially as like it all birthed from literally your first EP recorded DIY in bedrooms, like nothing to do
over
lockdown
as well.
Might as well put out some music to then have that turn into what will hopefully be a career and is just like what we're doing now. Fucking awesome. And like very, yeah, I don't know, it felt very organic, which was nice, you know. There wasn't, it's been a long time coming. And we've all wanted this for a very long time.
Yeah,
I'd say. Like, we've all been wanting to do music since we were like 6 years old. So it feels very rewarding.
And it's nice that we all really love each other as well. We're all genuinely like
best mates.
Friends.
Yeah.
So it feels really nice and comfortable to be able to, if we're worried about anything, if we're going through it together.
Yeah.
It's nice to have people.
We know we can freak out together. And like when it was like everything started kind of going well, it was like there was no fear of, oh, what have I got myself into with these people? It was, oh, sick, I get to do this with my favourite people.
Yeah.
You know, that's fun.
Like, as someone who was in a band like with like altercations with other members, like you don't want to be like kicking off with your bandmates.
Yeah, it's awful.
And the good thing is, if any of us does anything to upset anyone, then we're able to actually discuss it and talk about it with family as well as bandmates and friends.
And we say that a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's always going to be shit and you're going to disagree on things, whether musically or in, like, normal life. But the fact that we all feel comfortable enough to say that to each other is the nicest part, I'd say.
Yeah.
And we're pretty good at joking about it as well.
Yeah, 100%.
So, oh, Tom, you promised me you'd do my makeup first.
I'd like to hope it's never as petty.
No promises.
Tom always does his first.
It's because I get to spend the longest on mine, and then I chuck things on your guys' face. It's harder to do makeup on yourself, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, some people might prefer it. But I know all of your faces pretty well as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's easier to draw on from that.
Speaking as a trans woman, harder to put makeup on yourself.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm awful at makeup. I don't have a word to say. Like, I'm so, so bad at it. It's like art to me. I'm very bad at visual art. And I very much see makeup as an art form.
I think you could argue it is an art form these days.
Oh, yeah, totally.
100%.
Yeah. So there's a couple months left of 2022.
Yeah.
Is there anything you guys have got planned that you can talk about? Or
we want to be releasing, and we will be releasing eventually. We can't give any dates on that, but there is stuff in the works.
I get so antsy when we've not released anything. I'm like, because I get, my brain gets piled up with all these songs that we have, and if they've not gone anywhere, they sort of sit in my mind with and block up the works a little bit. But
so I imagine you loved the year between and sickening then.
Yeah, it's a long, I hate long waits.
Yeah.
So I'm doing all that I can to not be waiting.
But there is a lot of exciting stuff in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. And we want to do more shows as well.
New music soon, more shows soon. We just can't announce too much just yet, unfortunately.
Understandably
but
so.
But we will be back when we do have stuff to announce.
That's
we'll be
what
like, hello, Ruby!
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's taken a while to get to this one, but 100% up for doing more in the future as well.
Yeah, for sure.
So long as you guys are, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be there like, Cherry. And you're like, oh, for God's sake, it's Ruby again.
Not at all.
That was never the conversation.
So because I'm conscious of time, like, you guys obviously have to go on stage very soon.
Yeah.
And face paint still needs to be applied. Let's follow that suit and go for a quick fire round.
Nice.
I'm not quite sure how this is going to work with two people, but I'm happy for either of you to answer as quickly. So it's basically just, for the most part, they're all A or B, and there's two a little bit more open-ended ones at the end.
Nice.
Yeah. So, streaming or physical music?
I mean, streaming because we haven't actually got any physical music yet.
And streaming because you discover so much music. I love how much music I discover on Spotify.
Yeah.
There is something so nice about listening to a vinyl, but streaming for that discovery.
Yeah. Shows in the north or south?
Ooh,
bearing
I'm
in
loving
mind you
a
are
northern
in Leeds
crowd.
And Manchester last
I'm
night.
Loving a northern crowd. Manchester went off. London is our home though, and they always give us the reception that we want. But these
I'm
going to
say north
shows.
Because literally the only reason I would say south is London, and I
yeah,
don't think that's fair.
Exactly,
because I think
no.
If we were based in the north, then
yeah,
we would be saying
exactly.
We would be saying north. So I'm
yeah,
saying north.
North.
MIDI or real instruments?
Real. Oh, MIDI trumpet. Oh. Oh, it's like the worst thing to exist.
Yeah.
This
is more for like experiencing yourself, but intimate or bigger gigs? Feel free
bigger.
To chime in.
Bigger because intimate gigs I get way more scared because I can see everyone's faces and there's less likely going to be that one person who starts moving
yeah,
at intimate shows. The bigger the crowd, the more possibility that the audience will
go off a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like Brixton is my favourite venue and that would be my
favourite
size. Oh,
but not
size.
Stadium. I'm not talking stadium.
Yeah.
I never want to play a stadium.
No, like, I think Brixton Academy, that's my goal.
Yes.
And it's my favourite to go and watch things at. So that sort of size, perfect.
Definitely. Bedroom or studio? Studio.
I like a studio, mainly because I get to go on everyone's gear, or whatever
yeah,
the producer has, I like that.
Bedroom because I get less self-conscious doing weird things.
See, I like
I'm doing really weird things.
I get recorded the adrenaline in a studio like I do live, which I don't get in my room.
I recorded the first EP, like, basically naked because it was so hot in my bedroom. Yeah, you did. I've said that before. I was in my underwear for most of it. Yeah.
Song on repeat at the minute.
Ooh, what am I listening to? All of Little Sims' discography.
Ooh, nice.
Saw her at Latitude and Electric Picnic, and I'm obsessed with her.
No judgment.
Do I listen to any music? Yeah, I listen to so much music. I know it's meant to be quick. I can't think of literally anything I've listened in the past 24 hours. We'll go Lightsaber Cocksucking Blues by
Mikoski.
That's
Mikoski. On a lot, yeah.
It's on a lot.
That sounds like a song I need to listen to after.
You don't know that song?
So
oh,
good.
You'll love it.
It's
you'll
so
love
good.
It.
Yeah. And then the last one, album of 2022 so far. Obviously, you've just said you can't remember any music you've listened to like
okay,
this year.
No, album of 2022.
Again, did...
You would say Little Sims, I'm assuming.
Yeah. If that came out this year?
I think it was last year.
Would you say K then, probably?
Ooh, K. The new K was really good.
K Tempest.
Yeah, K Tempest.
I do love the new K Tempest.
New Charlie is my like pre night out song. Yeah, that whole album, loving it. Who else?
The new Fontaines album.
Yeah,
as
new
well.
Fontaines is brilliant.
Yeah,
I'm trying.
I saw them at Leeds. Go on.
Oh, Kira's got an answer.
My two are Hellfire by Black Midi.
Oh, Hellfire.
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually that overtakes
Black
Fontaines.
Country.
Ants from up there. Black
Yeah.
Both of those are
both
amazing.
Both of those are really, really good.
Obsessively,
like,
nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
Definitely. So, is there anything else you would like to plug? Where can people find you? Obviously, you're on
the
everything, oozes, I assume.
Yeah, the oozes on absolutely everything. We'll be announcing some shows. We'll be announcing new music. If you come to a show, we've got so much merch, and we'll hopefully have that up online soon. And just kind of stream the shit out of everything and hopefully see people at shows soon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. I do hope you enjoyed that. If you did, please consider taking less than 5 minutes to leave a review and give this podcast a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at FFTScene, that's FFTScene, or you can find me on the socials at Rubes, that's RUUBEZ, or possibly Rubes001 on Instagram, at least. With any luck, I'll be back next week with another guest. I'd say touching so much wood based on how this year has gone. But until then, I've been Ruby Price, and this was Fresh from the Scene. Thank you very much, and goodbye.